This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and from Jerry Lane Chevrolet. And a reminder that podcasts of this show are available, and you can listen anytime, day or night, if you go to WRKF.org or TalkLouisiana.org. And for those unfamiliar, I suspect most of our audience knows by now, this program airs again on most nights at 9 p.m. So it is a show that has some traction as far as availability for our listeners, and we look forward to you joining us at any time if you're unable to be with us when we're live at 9 o'clock. And as live shows go, right now we're having some challenges getting through to Kathleen Pittman, the administrator for the Hope Medical Center in Shreveport. That facility opened in the year of 1980. Robin Rothrock was the first one, and she, first administrator. And she was around for many years and died several years ago, and Kathleen Pittman, who was her understudy, took over. And as a result, for people in North Louisiana and in most recent vintage, those in Texas, they were going to Shreveport to seek abortion services. And based on the Supreme Court ruling of a few months ago, 5-4 was the vote on that particular issue. That clinic is now closed, as are two others in Louisiana. So women in Louisiana have to move to a state if they wish to. When I say move, they have to at least set up shop for a few days, maybe a few weeks, and they have to travel to another state. And all the neighboring states also have banned abortion. So it is a process that is uneven, to say the least, and there are some stories that are not pleasant, and one of those is on the front page of The Advocate today. And while we're waiting for Kathleen, if you can give us a call, we'd like to hear from you, 877-217-5757, or talk at talklouisiana.org. Emily Woodruff has a story in The Advocate regarding a Baton Rouge woman at the beginning of July. Nancy Davis, writes Emily, started feeling nauseated. The Baton Rouge resident considered COVID-19 or the flu, then decided to take a pregnancy test just in case. She saw the two blue lines denoting a positive test and ran into the living room to tell her boyfriend. They were both elated, but their happiness was short-lived. At the first ultrasound at Woman's Hospital, the largest birthing center in Louisiana, the technician looked troubled and left the room. A woman in a white coat entered. Davis knew that was not good. The doctor pointed to the top of the head. There was no skull, which is an unsurvivable condition. The doctor tried to comfort Ms. Davis, saying this was one of the conditions that qualifies as an exception under the state's abortion laws. Davis, who was 10 weeks into her pregnancy, was still heartbroken. There was nothing I would have preferred more than to have this baby. Instead, the 36-year-old woman prepared herself to pay an estimated $5,000 for an abortion at the hospital. But that's not what happened. Even after doctors at the hospital said they would provide an abortion, once she got the diagnosis of this rare and fatal condition from a specialist, the hospital called to tell her it would not be able to do it. The hospital directed her to a Florida abortion clinic instead, or to carry the baby to term. And that defines the gray area that we are now experiencing regarding abortion in Louisiana and in any other state where abortion is not legal. And the Supreme Court has thrown it back to the states, and there are many states where abortion is legal, but none very close to Louisiana. It will take about a 600-mile trip minimum for a woman to go to Kansas or to Illinois or some state where it is legal, or Florida for right now. And as a result, the South, which of course is Trump country, the Southeastern Conference, if you look at the 11 states of the SEC, there aren't many places available for a woman to receive abortion services. And that is the world we live in this part of the country. And Jean Mills, the head of the Family Forum, who was at the press club at Baton Rouge a few weeks ago, indicated that it's not beyond the realm of possibility for those who are on the pro-life side, such as he, to seek a federal ban on abortion. And if that were to occur, of of course, we would have a situation where abortion would not be legal anywhere in the United States. And it might very well occur if there is a Republican majority in the U.S. House, U.S. Senate, and the presidency, as there was in the first term of Donald John Trump. Now, as we know, there is the slightest of majorities for Democrats in the Senate, 50-50. And then if it's a tie, as it was on the recent bill, it happens that Kamala Harris, the vice president, has to cast the deciding vote, and she did. And in the House, it is only a few votes, and quite possibly, if not likely, the Republicans will gain control of the United States House of Representatives after the November 8th election. So next year will likely be a different story in government. It appears the Republicans will have, at a minimum, based on trends, at least one House, maybe both. And Joe Biden, as we know, is not a popular president. Donald Trump wasn't a popular president. He lost the overall vote twice. In fact, he's the only president other than John Quincy Adams to lose the overall vote on two occasions. He's not only yet to acknowledge that he lost in 2020 by 7 million votes, but yet he's not acknowledged that he lost the 2016 overall vote by 3 million votes to Hillary Clinton. If you ask Trump, he won both elections, and that every vote that was cast for Biden and Hillary that enabled them to have more votes than he was fraudulent. But Donald Trump, despite the lies about the 2020 election and the 2016 election, continues to pack a wallop in the GOP. The New York Times reports that primary election outcomes for Trump-endorsed 2022 midterm candidates saw 8 endorsements for the U.S. Senate among Republicans, and of those, 7 were victorious, 7 candidates supported by Donald Trump. And in the House, he endorsed 21 people, 17 wins, and the statewide offices, 22 endorsements from the former president, with 16 victories. And we are joined now by Kathleen Pittman, the administrator at the Hope Medical Center in Shreveport. And good morning to you, Kathleen. It's great to catch you. Sorry we're a few minutes late, but it's always good to visit with you. And I know as we speak, you're probably vacating the building the services have been provided in for 4 decades in Shreveport. Your thoughts about the situation we are in now and your personal involvement in this as you see an era go by the wayside.
Good morning, Jim. Yeah, we actually are packing up the building. We are hoping to relocate. We just have not decided on a place. You know, I really, this is just so disturbing on so many levels. I am literally on the phone telling young women that they have fewer rights than their great-grandmother did. It's like we've entered the twilight zone or something. But the clinic's been here for 42 years. I've been here for 30, and truly it's heartbreaking, and it's heartbreaking for the women that are going to need care. And we're also hearing a lot of concern from physicians throughout the state that are very concerned that they will not be able to provide the care they deem most appropriate for their patients for, you know, for situations with pregnancies that have gone wrong. And they're very concerned that law enforcement as well as the licensing agencies may be coming after them. So that was part of the reason that we had continued with our challenge through the courts.
Well, you went the distance, and by the way, Don Johnson, who was the judge who sided with the abortion providers, he is slated to be with us tomorrow, and he is running for another judgeship, but a fascinating guy. But independent of that, you took it as far as you could in the courts, and now, at least until further notice, Louisiana is a state without abortion services. So what does that mean for people like you in Shreveport, where you've made your career of this? And when people say you do it for money, obviously there is a downside to this. I'm sure at times you've had threats and nobody wants to live with that. And you're probably getting those as we speak. But nonetheless, where do you go from here?
I intend to relocate with the clinic if we can determine a good location. if it's financially feasible. We are looking at all our options. We were hoping we would have more time. Some people may say, well, why didn't you already have a plan in action? I'm sorry, but when you are dealing with an onslaught of patients coming from different states because they were already limited as to abortion care, we have been doing everything we can simply to keep up with the demand. And in regard to abortion care being a moneymaker, no, sir. In order to keep the prices that are affordable for the people that need them most, no, we've never, I think I can honestly tell you that nobody that works here is in it for the money, because it's just, there are other more lucrative ways to make a living, I assure you.
877-217-5757. We'll spend a bit more time with Kathleen Pittman right after this. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Kathleen Pittman, who runs the Hope Medical Center in Shreveport, is with us. It opened in 1980, 7 years after Roe v. Wade, and for 42 years, it's been one of the operating abortion clinics in Louisiana. There have never been many, but right now, as the curtain falls, there are three, one in Baton Rouge, of course, the Delta Women's Clinic. For many years, there was the Acadian Clinic on Acadian Thruway, but that went by the wayside several years ago, and one in New Orleans, and that's it. And so it's all over, and now, Kathleen, the closest states for women seeking abortions where it is still legal are, I think, Kansas. We saw the vote there, 59-41% to keep abortion viability. There's Illinois, and there is, Florida, at least for now?
Florida for now, Colorado, New Mexico. I think the closest to the Shreveport area right now would probably be Southern Illinois. So once again, you know, those that can afford to will hop a plane and go where they can. But the women,
or drive in a car,
right?
You know, some of these people have limited means.
Those at most, yes, won't be able to. I'm really worried, Jim. I keep telling people the people that need services the most are the marginalized communities. These are people that are already struggling financially. I truly fear further sink into poverty in Louisiana. I am concerned that the maternal mortality rate, which is already one of the highest in the nation, is only going to go up. There are so many things that this is going to affect. It's very far reaching, and I'm just very concerned. Very.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. And a listener, Holly in the Garden District, asked me to follow up on the cost of an abortion. And I think that it costs more to get a wisdom tooth removed than it does to have an abortion. That doctors generally are not in it to make money. And now there is, of course, a cost for doing business, and that's like no other. But as you stated, as far as medical procedures, it's not inordinately expensive unless there's some unusual event like this fetus without a skull that's on the front page of the Metro section of The Advocate. But what does an abortion generally cost these days?
Here at Hope, up through 11 weeks, you're looking at $600. We actually did quite a bit of miscarriage management here through the years because, quite frankly, that was a few hundred was a lot less than paying several thousand if done in a hospital. Miscarriage management could be handled in a hospital, but many patients chose to come to us, one for the cost, one, I guess, simply because they liked us. But, yeah, up through 11 weeks, and the cost would continue to go up from there.
So $600 for 11 weeks, that's what an abortion costs. What about those that are done with pills? And I would think that might be what you're talking about with these 11 weeks.
It would be the same due to the cost of the medications and the additional blood work that's usually needed.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't specify up through 11 weeks it was going to be the same either way. Although we actually only offered the pill up through 9 weeks.
Now, a listener also asks about waiting periods. You know, you just can't get on a plane or get in a car and go to one of these states and expect to immediately get an abortion. How long are the waiting periods in Kansas and in Illinois and in Florida?
The waiting periods range anywhere from 24, 48, and in some cases 72 hours. It just depends on the state. New Mexico does not have a waiting period still. Here in Louisiana, for many years, it was a 24-hour, and then in 2016, it was a law passed that required a 72-hour waiting period, but we actually challenged that in court and were able to keep the 72-hour waiting period at bay for many years, actually until this past May.
Another question from Lynn on Capitol Heights. Do any insurance plans cover abortion?
Well, okay, not actually, no. It depends. Once again, out of state, yes. In Louisiana, that was problematic. People that would have insurance through Medicaid or through, you know, the state agencies or, you know, whoever they contract with, it was prohibited. So all of this has always been out of pocket. The only relief patients received would be through funding. There are funding resources that will help defray some of the cost, but not all of it usually.
877-217-5757 for Kathleen Pittman, who runs the now defunct Hope Medical Center in Shreveport. The doors have closed, and she is now vacating and will move to parts unknown. We hope to keep her available for discussion wherever she lands. But Mike in Waveland, Mississippi, you're first up, and please be kind to our guest. Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Kathleen and Jim. In the interest of the other side of the argument, and I understand that there are pregnancies that need to be terminated, but others that perhaps shouldn't be. I would just like for everyone who's pro-choice to listen to a podcast by a Catholic priest by name of Father John Ricardo.
All right. What's your question?
When the lady when I answered the phone, she said, "Do you have a comment or a question for?"
Okay. Well, you've made your comment about John Ricardo. Do you have a question beyond that, Mike?
I haven't made the comment. I just want everybody to listen to Father John.
We heard it the first time. What's your question?
I don't have a question. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Thank you, Mike. 877-217-5757, Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, and good Lord. I understand that the number of average number of abortions last year in Louisiana was 7,444. Is that correct?
Secret now, if there's 7,000 in Louisiana, that sounds right. I think you're right on the money, Phil. That's 350,000 nationwide. Louisiana is an average size state, so if we do 50 states, that's 350,000. That's down from more than a million several years ago. What people have not taken into account, Kathleen, you know it, is that abortions have actually gone down in this country over the last many years.
They truly have.
And that's despite all the consternation and some claims that they've gone up. Because we have more people, you would think that more, if you got more people, you're going to seek a service, so you'd have more people seeking abortions. But that just is not the case.
Yeah. The reason for the downturn in the number of abortions, I don't know that we have a definitive answer as to why. I personally believe in dealing with the people that I deal with every day, part of it has to do with increased access to birth control. It may be possible that all the regulations have created issues as well. I do know the clinics that have remained open have done everything they can to make sure that care is accessible. But in my mind, a lot of it has to do with the availability of contraception, for instance, through the ACA. that seems to have made a difference.
And getting back to Mike in Waveland, Mississippi, I can tell that I know this man. He's a sincere individual. And I think where he was getting at is that he hates abortion. And I think a lot of people who have abortions don't really like the fact that they're in this situation, but it's their choice, or it was, and it is still in some states. And sometimes there is a gray area, and some people believe life begins at conception. Others do not, at least not a human life. And as a result of that, should we impose our religious beliefs on other people? Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi are both devout Catholics. I'm sure they're against abortion, but they're in favor of abortion rights. And I don't think people really grasp that completely on the other side, that you can be a person who abhors abortion, but in a case where a woman has to make a choice, you can say, look, it's none of my business. We're back after this with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Glad you are with us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. And Kathleen Pittman is with us for a few more moments. Then we'll hear from Mark Ballard of The Advocate. And yesterday on his monthly radio show, Governor John Bel Edwards said that he would be in favor. In fact, he is actively promoting a bill that would allow abortions in Louisiana in cases of rape and incest. Robin, can we listen to the governor from his program, Ask the Governor, yesterday afternoon? Sam in New Orleans. Sam, good afternoon. You're on with Governor Edwards.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you very much. Thank you for taking my call. Nice to speak to you, Governor.
Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, I'm originally from Shreveport, and I heard they're closing down the Hope Center, which is the clinic where they performed abortion. I was just wondering what your opinion was on that, and reproductive rights of women in Louisiana moving forward after they've made these drastic changes.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the call, Sam. I did too see where in the newspaper where I think this is the case for all three of the clinics that were operating in Louisiana once the Supreme Court denied a writ application, which left in place the Court of Appeal decision that said that the while they could take an appeal and continue to pursue litigation, that the appeal would be suspensive, which means that the ban would go into place. As you know, Sam, or maybe you don't know, but I'm a pro-life governor. I signed the bill into law this year that came out of the legislature that sought to clarify what that ban really was and looked like, because it was one that was put into place initially in 2006 before I became governor. And so in terms of the ban and so forth, there are exceptions. I don't think there are enough. I do think there needs to be a rape and incest exception added. We're gonna continue to ask the legislature to do that next year. But there are exceptions for ectopic pregnancies and pregnancies that are medically futile or that pose a threat to the life or serious health consequences to the mother.
That was Governor John Bel Edwards yesterday, who says he will actively support a bill, and you can bet there will be one to be filed next year, that would allow abortions in the cases of rape and incest in Louisiana. Kathleen Pittman is with us for just a little bit longer. She's obviously a busy person, and we do intend to stay in touch with her. And there are people waiting to talk. And when we get Mark Ballard on the line, and he is on the line waiting, we'll stay with this subject. So if you wait, you can still address this subject after Kathleen leaves. But I know Rose in government's been waiting for a little while. Rose, I want to get you in before Kathleen departs. You're on the air.
Thank you very much, Jim, for taking my call. And thank you, Kathleen, for being on the show. My comment is that, you know, it's my body. I should be able to decide. And I think women are not property of other people. So if it's for their health, why are we deciding that a child that isn't even breathing?
All right. Kathleen, your final thoughts.
Oh, I totally agree. I think for true autonomy, which everybody seems to be so up in arms about, then women need to be in control of their own bodies, in control of their own futures. and taking away reproductive rights is not the way to do that. So I'm totally with you, Bonnie.
Thank you for joining us today, Kathleen Pittman, and we hope to
Thanks
stay in touch.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. And Mark Ballard is with us. And Mark, this story continues to permeate, no doubt about it. It's still a big issue. And today, as I noted at the start of our show today, in the front page of the Metro section, the headline, "Abortion Denied for Fetus Without Skull, Baton Rouge Woman Told to Go to a Hospital, Told by a Hospital to Go to Florida." So I would imagine we'll have other stories of this kind in the months to come.
I would think so. And I think that the governor pressing a bill that would have exceptions is going to be an interesting view for the legislators who are trying to avoid any more votes on this issue. But I got the feeling in talking to legislators that they would like to see more exceptions to the abortion, particularly for rape and incest, and more clarification as to, you know, what would allow abortions and what wouldn't. So that's a big issue, and it will be one that's going to continue over the year.
Jim and Walker, Jim, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. One thing, as someone who knows a lot of people who are pro-choice, I don't know a single one of them who actually loves abortions. We prefer there not to be more. But that requires that there be things like contraception and sex education. I mean, those things go a long way towards reducing the number of abortions. But there's a flip side to this whole, you know, choice and pregnancy issue, and that is that there are a lot of women in this state, and especially here in Baton Rouge, because we have one of the premier hospitals for IVF, that, well, good luck, because that's gone. That there are unintended consequences.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Mark?
There's a lot of complex and intertwined issues involved in the abortion issue, I guess, is in. And so that there are a lot of people who are anti-abortion, such as our governor, who thinks that there needs to be a little more flexibility in it. And so, yes, there is. Should there be more talk about birth control and sex education that is not allowed? Yes, but that's one of several different intertwined issues in this abortion.
Kevin in North Baton Rouge. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air with Mark Ballard.
How you doing? I couldn't understand why nobody never have or talk about when people have the kids adopting them, because you'll see more adopt a pet on the TV than you'll ever see adopt a child.
Adopt a pit bull? Well, he does have a point.
I don't know. I don't know about the metrics of bringing a small child on TV and say adopt this one, you know. But I mean, he does have a point in that there is a push for adopt a pets, but there's also a major push for for adoption for humans, just not in the same vein as adopt a pet.
Well, Louisiana may be the last of the states that actually have pro-life Democrats. John Bel Edwards is one. Kathleen Blanco was one. Even on the record, Edwin Edwards was pro-life. But that's not something that plays well with the National Democratic Party. And on the other hand, the Republican Party used to have some pro-choice Republicans, including one Charles Buddy Romer. And there were others around the country. But, Mark, it appears now that this is another one of those issues where if you're on the blue side or the red side, it's going to determine how you vote on abortion in almost every case. And John Bel Edwards, of course, is going against the grain.
Right. He would be an exception to that rule. Yes, in the last 10 years that the abortion issue has become exceptionally weaponized, predominantly because of the evangelical Christian movement, Protestant Christian movement, and also because of the Roman Catholics being too much against it. And in this state, that's what it drives more than anything else, is when you have Gene Mills, when you have the bishops all saying they're against it and mm-hmm. against it black and white and not with any sort of gray into it, then that's when you have legislators, which when you have politicians who are against it as well.
And a listener correctly points out, a lady who's been on our show more than a few times, Katrina Jackson, the lawmaker from Monroe, who's an African-American female Democrat, she is a person who's led the charge for the pro-life movement at the state legislature. But you won't find many others, many nationally, African-American woman, Democrat, and she is a brave soldier because some of these people, they have national aspirations, but if you're a Democrat and you're taking a stand on abortion that is out of sync with the national party, you're probably not going far. And if you're a Republican, the same thing. And that's just the way it is right now. David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Mark.
Mr. Ballard, I read an article somewhere. In some state, a lady is pregnant, and an ultrasound showed that the fetus has no skull. And under the state's new abortion law, evidently she's been denied an abortion.
All right, that's what we were talking about earlier in the show. It happened in Baton Rouge. So this lady had to go to Florida, and I can't imagine why she was denied an abortion. It would seem that would be one of the situations that would apply. This was, according to the story from Emily Woodruff today, at Women's Hospital here in Baton Rouge, and she was told she had to go to Florida and pay $5,000 to get the service.
Well, one problem is that the law is written so that it's the procedures that a physician uses that are actually been outlawed, and a lot of these procedures are used for dealing with miscarriages, and they're the same procedures that deal with abortions. And doctors are very afraid right now, and they're confused. The lawyers are confused about what becomes a criminal act. Parts of the law that they have to meet not to be prosecuted and sent to prison, which is what's the outcome of this. And that's, I think, has more to do with why I don't know. Women's Hospital didn't tell me, but I think that has more to do with why the physicians are backing off on any type of DNC. Or abortion procedures right now.
877-217-5757. We'll talk with Mark about some other matters as well. But if you'd like to get in on any topic, we invite your participation, and we do prefer pertinent questions that are presented in a kind way. We'll be back after this. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased you are with us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow producing. Your number is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk@talklouisiana.org. And Mark Ballard has been with us, I think, every week for several years. He hasn't missed any weeks. And we've talked many times about how our legislative delegation in Washington, where Mark will soon be moving, goes lock and sync with Donald Trump on every issue, including whether or not it was a legitimate election in 2020, whether or not Trump should have been impeached, whether or not the insurrection should have been investigated. All of our congressional members, except Bill Cassidy on the Republican side, are with President Trump. That includes Garrett Graves and Clay Higgins and Julia Letlow and Steve Scalise and Mike Johnson and John Kennedy. And based on what happened this week, some might say, well, can you blame them? Liz Cheney, who voted with Donald Trump 93% of the time and has voted with Joe Biden 18% of the time, who has one of the great names in Wyoming politics. Her father was a congressman, defense secretary, vice president of the United States. Well, she lost by 37.4% of the votes in a Republican primary for the U.S. House Tuesday, the worst loss by an incumbent congressperson in 60 years. She was trounced, shellacked, whatever way you want to call it. And based on her voting record, we know it was because she took on Donald Trump. She is a member of the committee investigating the insurrection of January 6th. So, Mark Ballard, I would imagine, based on what happened to Cheney, you're not going to see Garrett Graves, the congressman representing Baton Rouge, at any time soon say anything unkind about Donald John Trump.
Actually, we don't see him say much at all about Donald John Trump. But, yeah, I think that what you were seeing and that what we have seen in these primaries with the success that the Trump-promoted candidates against those that raise questions about the January 6th and raise questions about the validity of the stolen election claims, they're the ones that are being beaten, isn't it? I think just 2 out of 17
have survived.
You know, so that to me, if I'm a Republican legislator, then I think I would keep my mouth shut too.
And it was a few days ago on this program, Gustavo and Goodwood said Trump's out of here. The party is no longer affiliated with Donald Trump. Well, I'd have to say this is the party of Trump. He is the Republican Party.
It seems like the entry ticket now is to blow off. I think William Crystal said that it's the entry ticket now is to blow off January 6th. It's just a blip on the radar, and that seems to be the case. And certainly you've seen the national polls. You've seen the Louisiana polls that show far more. A vast majority of Republicans on the ground believe that President Biden was illegitimately elected.
Well, it is amazing how the January 6th incident is now just a modest dispute that had little fanfare. And of course, Mitch McConnell publicly denounced the president. Kevin McCarthy did at first. He's had an epiphany, though, the House Minority Leader, who may soon be the Speaker of the House of Representatives. 877-217-5757, Patrick in Ennisswald Estates. Patrick.
Hey, so now that Liz Cheney's out, I haven't really been paying attention to her show trial, but who's going to take over on the kangaroo court now that Liz Cheney's out?
Well, she's still in for another few months, so she's still on that committee. She's not going anywhere for a few months, and they're going to issue their report at the end of the year, so she's still around. She doesn't immediately have to leave, Patrick. I'm sure you're not happy about that, but she's still there.
And if his wishes are granted, and the Republicans take over the House, they'll probably cancel that the in-depth investigation into what happened on January 6th.
Yeah, there will be no more investigations of January 6th. And you know, Garrett Graves said that he took offense because Nancy Pelosi didn't put Jim Jordan on the committee. Well, my goodness, this guy, he was one of those who's accused of being a part of the insurrection. I don't think you would want somebody like that on the committee. But if Garrett Graves had said, I'd like to be on the committee, I think he could have gotten a spot.
I think so, too. Or Mike Johnson, or Julia Letlow, or even Steve Scalise.
Yeah, they're not in the middle of this. McCarthy knew what he was doing, and so they got two Republicans. One of them quit before he was about to be defeated, I'm sure, in Illinois, Adam Kinzinger, and the other one, Liz Cheney. She took it to the hilt, and running in Wyoming against Donald Trump, a state that he got 70% of the votes in. She didn't fare well, and she is off. It is farewell for Liz Cheney, but she, I'm sure, will be involved in politics, and I think many Democrats now admire her. If her voting record were not so in line with Donald Trump 93% of the time and only 18% with Joe Biden, Democrats might be trying to recruit her, Mark.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, if you're looking for political policy, you couldn't find a more conservative person. So this all had to do with support for Donald Trump.
But I mentioned at the start, the New York Times has a good analysis. Trump endorsed 8 people for the U.S. Senate in the Republican primaries, and 7 of them won. In the House, he endorsed 21 people, 17 of them won. And in statewide offices, 22 endorsements from the former president, and 16 of them were victorious. So his His endorsement means a lot, and he has endorsed one John Neely Kennedy. John Bell Edwards has endorsed Luke Mixon. The Democratic Party in Louisiana can't decide what it wants to do. It has endorsed three Democrats, Steve, Chambers, and Mixon, and that's the way it is.
Well, I think a large part of that shows the kind of fracturedness within the Democratic Party. There is a progressive wing. There is a moderate wing that says, you know, we've shown that we have won in the past. And the progressive wing, I mean, and practical Democrats who are saying, you know, we're not going to win. Why don't we push our agenda and make a lot of noise about it? There were also technical issues involved with that meeting last Saturday, and which made it difficult for incumbents and other candidates to actually get interviewed by the Democratic Party. So there's a lot of problems going on right now.
And a lot of Democrats wanted Gary Chambers to get the endorsement, and he cried foul. He thinks the chair of the party is not in his favor.
And again, that comes back to the sort of argument that the party's grassroots is more progressive than moderate, but the moderate section, the moderate wing, arguing, saying, yes, but we have won statewide elections. The last, you know, two of the last three governors have been Democrats. That seems to be where the fight is.
You know, politics is the art of the possible. And for those who want to know how to play the game well, they should take notes on what Joe Manchin did over the last several months, because he got what he wanted. He got a pipeline in West Virginia, and yet at the same time, he relented enough. The Democrats were able to pass a plan that Chuck Schumer liked enough that he endorsed fully, and President Biden signed it into law. And it was disliked enough by Republicans that they couldn't get one Republican vote in the Senate or the House, but yet it is now the law of the land. And I'd say 74-year-old Joe Manchin has learned how to play this game quite adroitly, Mark.
Well, that is, politics is the art of the practical. And he was able to get the negotiations going his way by basically being the turn vote. And they got that bill passed.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's running for re-election next year in West Virginia, and it will be fascinating to see how he does. I suspect that'll be one of the most expensive races in America. I wish I owned a radio station in West Virginia, Mark, because you can bet there'll be tons of money on one side and tons of money on the other side, and it'll probably be a close race.
I imagine so.
And Manchin, who looks much younger, he's another one of those guys. He does not want to leave the scene. Somehow they get Potomac fever, and they just want to stay forever, Mark.
That seems to be the case. I mean, if you look at our past senators, a lot of our representatives moved up to Washington and never came back.
And they become lobbyists now, and soon you'll be there. And heaven forbid you'll never come back, but Mark Ballard has a mild case of Potomac fever.
I will be back.
But it's a great city. It's a great city, and one of the things I agreed with David Bitter about, you know, Washington has grown exponentially because of politics, and with politics you don't get smokestacks and chemical plants. It's a clean industry in some ways, but it's quite dirty in others, and Mark will be there to ferret out all the dirt in the Beltway. So when's the move, Mark?
Well, that's still kind of up in the air, but it'll be mid-September is what I'm looking at right now. It's mostly in the hands of the moving company.
All right. Well, we'll talk with you next week and keep going. You're one of the best in the business, Mark Ballard. And signature support for Talk Louisiana is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services, from Jerry Lane Chevrolet. For Robin Dow, I'm Jim Inkster. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned.